America weekend.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalecki.
I'm Christina Staffo.
You know, losing weight is difficult. I dropped 27 pounds to this point over, like, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 months. But what if you had to lose 800 pounds? That's a lot.
Agreed.
That's quite a lot. How do you do that?
And I mean, intimidating, too, to think about that.
A couple of slim fasts here and there just will not get that
done.
No,
definitely not.
What happens, though, if you are in a hospital and they're trying to get you to lose this weight, but all of a sudden you fall off the wagon quite hard? And here we go. A nearly 800-pound man undergoing inpatient treatment for his obesity says a hospital kicked him out for ordering a pizza.
Huh.
You know, that's a bad thing. They say that hospital food is not good, and it's not, but this is a little bit too much. Stephen Asante, 33, had been staying at the Rhode Island Hospital for 80 days. He lost 20 pounds, but after he violated his diet, the hospital asked him to get out. It's an addiction, and I realize that it's a disease, he said in a news segment. A hospital spokeswoman confirmed that Asante had been discharged but could not comment further. Asante temporarily took refuge in the trunk of his father's SUV, but he was admitted into Kent County Hospital a little bit later on. His father said he needed to be monitored or risk gaining even more weight. All right, so how do you feel about this? The hospital sees that he's trying to sneak in a pizza, so they throw him out.
Well, I feel like the hospital should have had a better eye on him. Maybe,
right.
Obviously, they had dietary restrictions and things like that, but how was he able to order a pizza?
Right, how does Papa John's just walk right into the hospital? Oh, sixth floor, here we go, Mr. Asante and the 800-pound guy over there in the corner. How does that happen?
But I also feel like when you're 800 pounds overweight, you can't just make the person cut out everything cold turkey.
No.
Like, were they making him go from how he was eating to just feeding him lettuce? Or, like, what were they doing to this man that he really needed that pizza?
That's a good point. I mean, you can't really do that. If this person has been craving these carbohydrates and these sweets for all these years, that put him 800 pounds over the till, you can't just all of a sudden give him salads and a liquid diet.
There has to be some type of weaning off process,
exactly.
I'd imagine, right?
Because if not, I think you got a lot of mental health issues with this as well.
But I also wonder, how many times did he get caught trying to order the pizza?
Yeah.
Like, was this the fifth time and they were just like, okay, forget it? Or was this the first time and they were like, okay, we have a zero tolerance policy here?
I wonder if the family is involved in any way, because when you watch these shows on TV, there's a show on TLC, My 900-Pound Life, and it shows this poor guy, he literally just lays in a bed all day, and he's watching Maury and Jerry Springer, but yet he's still eating this terrible food.
Mm.
How does he get the terrible food? He can't jump in the car and head down to a Stop and Shop.
Someone's buying it for him.
His wife was bringing it in because it makes him happy.
Yeah,
well, you know,
he's not happy.
Enablers are the worst part of all of
he's
this.
He's not happy.
And obviously, this guy has been enabled for quite a long time for him to be able to top the scales at 800 pounds. But what responsibility does the hospital have? I mean, all right, the guy has a serious problem here. And if he's still buying the food or eating the food, and if people are bringing it to him, stop in front of the room and say, you can't bring this in to Mr. Asante.
Right.
What responsibility does the hospital have? Can they just kick him out because of this?
I don't know. Can they legally do that if someone is in danger of dying because they're so obese? I'm wondering if maybe they should have hooked him up with a mental health counselor.
Well,
should they have hooked him up with some type of counselor? Listen, weight loss, even if you have to lose 20 pounds, it's not just a physical thing.
It's
a mental thing, too. You have to really be in it to win it to want to lose some weight.
Because you have to change your behavior.
That's right.
And the way you eat, you have to learn how to eat. You almost have to be re-educated about how to properly take care of yourself. Now, he was at Rhode Island Hospital. That is in Providence. It's right outside of Providence, actually. So it's not really a specific facility for weight loss issues, I would imagine. And funny, it just pops into my head. I know they do a lot of behavioral studies there because somebody that was actually in our wedding is now a research scientist at this hospital. And that just popped into my head.
Mm-hmm.
That may not be a bad idea for a guest at some point.
Oh, hey.
Maybe this is kind of a glimpse into the idea that we don't have the right type of facilities for this. If I was to say to you, oh, where's the nearest overeating clinic? We don't know where
there
is.
We don't know. Where's the weight loss center?
Right. And I mean, Weight Watchers, they do tremendous work. But the problem is, it only scratches the surface.
But I feel like a lot of people, and, you know, they can say that it's not a lot of money. A lot of people can't afford a nutritionist or, you know, purchase the prepackaged foods
That's
and stuff
an
like that.
Point.
I feel like there needs to be more facilities where people can learn how to shop at a supermarket, portion control, how to properly cook their food. Listen, healthy food can taste really good. You don't have to fry something for it to be tasty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think that people are uneducated and don't know. It's like a big joke, like don't know what quinoa is or don't know,
don't.
You know, like the difference between white and brown rice or what's better or gluten-free. I know you don't. That's why I'm here on the show. Okay, so I'm just saying there's not a lot of people that are that know about the healthier options that can be cooked in a way that's good for you and tasty. He needs help.
He does
need help. And obviously that hospital didn't have the facility or the staff to do the right thing by him.
Right. And then we've learned one thing today. If either you or I are in need of serious medical care in Providence, Rhode Island, we better not go to the Rhode Island hospital. Just keep driving and go all the way to Boston and then pull off to the side of the road.
Go to Boston. Keep going.
Stay with us. I'm Ed Kalecki.
I'm Christina Stoffel.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. James Frey wrote a best-selling autobiography called A Million Little Pieces. The book is a memoir of the author's life as a drug addict. After telling his riveting story on Oprah Winfrey, the book sold 4 million copies. One problem, though, most of the book is a lie. Well, readers demanded a refund because they felt defrauded. So, did everybody who bought the book actually get a refund? The final verdict after this.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
So, did the readers of A Million Little Pieces get a refund for the bogus book? Yes. Did the lawyers who filed the class action suit get $1 million in legal fees? Yes. And that's the final verdict.
Think green.
Harrison with you. Wikipedia reports that roughly 150,000 people die every day across the globe. That's 54 million a year. As far back as 1988, the New York Times wrote that cemeteries would be running out of space. And now in the UK, some 70% of funerals are cremations due to the lack of space in church graveyards and urban cemeteries. Cremation is considered ungreen because it takes about 120 cubic meters of natural gas to incinerate both a coffin and the body inside. And one cremation releases 200 pounds of CO2 emissions into the air. Traditional burials uses glue and varnish, formaldehyde, plus casket wood often comes from rainforests. Some innovative green burial alternatives can be found at novaterium.com. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.